What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN. Hopefully you're having a smoother morning than it sounds like our man John Martin is. Got a call just a few minutes ago that he had hit something in the road on the way in. And, yes, it sounds like he's okay physically, but might have shredded his gas tank. Had no idea what he had hit when he called me. What he basically was saying was, hey, I'm not going to be there to start the show. And I told him, hey, man, you need a whole day to take care of that. I don't know if he's on 240. I don't know if he's off on a side road, was getting close to the studio. But it was a frantic call. And, yeah, now our man is somewhere with a shredded Audi gas tank. And hopefully going to make it on the way in at some point today. But obviously, the first thing is his safety and physical and everything else, making sure he's good. Sound like he was that. But hopefully we'll have him here today to discuss again, because I don't know if you saw it, guys. Stephen A. was right back on Memphis this morning on First Take. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't think before yesterday that talking about Ja Morant and Memphis is big ratings, is clicks for ESPN, well, look at him following right back up today. That was after Stephen A. Smith had followed up with a tweet last night that I think is worth discussing as well, because there was a different kind of tone with his tweet last night. Remember, this was after Ja had fired back about defended the city and everything else. Originally, Stephen A. saying NBA players don't want to come to Memphis, obviously, because of the crime issue. You had all this back and forth. Well, about 7 o'clock last night, Stephen A. Smith responded again to Ja Morant coming at him about his show and not talking finals, but talking Memphis. And so we have where he was then and then where he was this morning. But it's obviously, it's got to be good for ratings. Got to be good for ESPN. Talk a little Ja Morant in this case, a lot of Memphis. We've had the mayor weigh in as well. And so we will be discussing that with clips, hopefully, as well. Have all that for you. And we'll get John, hopefully, weighing in on it at some point as well. We had plenty going on yesterday, too, because University of Memphis coaches were weighing in on this matter, too. Remember, they have to recruit to Memphis. And so I'm sure in some, you know, in some living rooms, they've heard before, well, what about that crime problem you guys have? You know, Brooks Monaghan's probably heard that. I'm sure he has. He talked about that. He was hot about Stephen A.'s comments yesterday. Maybe hot's a little bit of a strong word, but certainly had some strong comments about it. Penny Hardaway, I think, the whole crew, Ryan Silverfield asked about it as well. They were all together yesterday for the Tigers on Tour event at the Owner's Box Sports Grill in Lakeland. Brad, you're very familiar with that spot, aren't you?
We had our Christmas party there.
There you go. Yeah, nice spot from what I've heard. I've never made it out there, but real nice spot from everything I've heard. And the place was full last night. You can see it from the pictures. Stories all over the Commercial Appeal and the Daily Memphian from it. But you had something that I think might be very important that came out of that last night, not from the coaches, but from Ed Scott, the athletic director over at Memphis. And so we will discuss that. I don't know if you guys saw the highlights last night, but Caitlin Clark was back into it. In terms of some pushing and some shoving, she got poked in the eye, got a technical foul. Her coach was going off afterwards about the state of refereeing in the WNBA. And so, yeah, man, there was plenty to discuss there, too, with the WNBA. But a lot to discuss here at home, obviously. And we will start there. Latest with John. He'll get here to the station, going to take an Uber. I guess we'll address the car later. Good thing is he's safe.
It's apparently it thrashed the back end of this thing. Your word thrash was right. It's
I don't know what he ran over, but apparently it tore up the underneath of his car is what it sounded like.
Not drivable.
Yeah, okay. So he's pulled it over and everything. Oh, we'll have him at some point. But before we do, let's talk about what unfolded yesterday after we got off. Now, we really had first crack, you know, in a lot of ways this show at Stephen A. at the comments yesterday. They had obviously come on First Take with the twins, the Morris twins, on First Take with Molly Karam. And we had sort of first crack yesterday and saw it all unfold during the show. John Morant first tweeting back a couple of tweets and then another one, you know, about 15, 16 minutes later. It all unfolded. We talked about it all show long. But what we didn't get a chance to discuss was what Stephen A. came back with later on Twitter. Before we get to the audio of what he said today, and I think this is important to set up, let's talk about this tweet last night that he quote tweeted Ja Morant's tweet about talking about the Grizz more than the finals with these cap ass sources. Y'all remember that tweet? We talked about it yesterday. We absolutely loved it. We loved even more the tweet where Ja Morant stood up for the city and said, why are you taking shots at the city at a time you got the finals on and should be talking about that? And I think we all subscribe to Ja there. There was plenty to do. Here's what Stephen A. said last night. Listen to the tone. So this is what we're going to do now, Ja Morant. I recall talking about the finals. As his point, I did talk about them earlier before I got to y'all. But the Memphis Grizz made news because of Bane getting traded and your possible extension coming up. Would you prefer I go into detail about what the, it's WTH, has been going on in Memphis? Why players have stated they're not interested in going? Or even more details? More's in caps, Brad. That tone. Or would you like me to leave well enough alone and let the great peeps of Memphis address it on their own? Your call. I'm all ears. That was real pumped
yes.
up last night.
Yeah, bully-like.
It was real pumped up. It was almost as if it was like, okay, you want to go, Ja? Let's go.
Right.
Me and you, as he said, I'm all ears. Your call on what we can put this to bed, or you can come on back and acknowledge what I'm saying, essentially. And we've talked about it here. You know, him saying that the crime issues in Memphis, and he talked about the authorities in Memphis having a challenge in front of them. The crime issues in Memphis, dissuading was the word he used, players from coming to Memphis. And we've always listened. There is some, I don't think you're being completely honest with yourself. And we, you know, John and I, you know, we got tense at points yesterday, you know, talking about this. And I think it is a nuanced conversation. But part of the, I think some of the tension came when it comes to looking at us. Because there are some things, and Jeff wrote about this in his column over the Daily Memphian, we do have crime issues. There was some truth to what Stephen A. is saying. He wasn't lying on Memphis, nor did I think he was lying about what Jimmy Butler, in this case, had said about not coming to Memphis. That was the name he dropped when he talked about players not wanting to come. There's some truth in what he's saying. We got some issues we got to get cleaned up. There's no question about it. But to take the shot he did, in the space that he did, that he used it, right? On First Take, you've got the finals on. It's a segment about Ja Morant and whether the Grizzlies should move on from him. And you get off into a political sort of, you know, something that gets political about a city, Memphis, which he acknowledges today, a very unique city because it's a black city. We talked about it. Largest predominantly black city in the country. But Stephen A. was on to something even more in detail about this morning in a different tone than his tweet last night, at least to me. I want you to listen to it. Listen to what he said this morning on First Take, particularly the tone.
Y'all, you know, I'm a brother. I look at Memphis as being a city, you know, with a lot of black folks in a red state. That's a tough position to be in. That's just a fact when we're talking about Memphis. But the mayor of Memphis made a comment speaking up for the city and invited me to come. Sir, I have friends in the city of Memphis, longtime friends that I've known for decades, and I'm in Memphis quite frequently. I know a little thing or two about Memphis, so let me get that out of the way first. But in fairness to the mayor, Mr. Paul Young of Memphis, Tennessee, I want to throw this out there, and I thought it was important. Total crimes have decreased by 13.3%. Violent crimes have dropped by 19%. Poverty crimes have fallen by 20%. Total homicide rates have fallen as well in the year 2024. Okay, so when you're talking about that, violent crimes. We're talking about robberies have decreased. Rape has decreased. So all of that sounds good because it's moving in the right direction. But it's still recognized as one of the worst cities in America, to the point where the head of the FBI has called it the murder capital of this country per capita. That's on the record saying that. This is just weeks ago. What are we talking about here? The poverty rate is at 24.5%. In terms of their national ranking, it consistently ranks within the top 10 most impoverished large cities in the United States of America. Big one here, Molly, Doggy, Wendy. 40% of the children in Memphis live in poverty. And when we're talking about all of those things and you're talking about the troubles that exist, these are the kind of things that contribute to the city being deemed by some within the NBA community as unattractive.
We have a second clip. Real quick before we get to it, are we, because Wendy and Mad Dog are listening to him. They're on the show. They're not talking because he's not talking basketball right now. He sounds like a guy's running for president. You know, to, you start talking about blue in a red, the blue city in a red state. My point is, all of a sudden, he was more educated on Memphis in terms of its place, right, in a Republican state. Being a predominantly black city, Memphis is black. You heard him. The mayor had obviously come at him. His tone was different. Now, he doubled down on crime being the reason these players aren't coming, but he got all off into crime, poverty, everything else, right? It almost becomes, it's a political stance almost on the city and everything else. Sounds like a guy that wants you to know that he's tuned into this kind of stuff. Maybe a guy that's going to run for president at some point, but off on his own. Wendy and Mad Dog are not talking. And later on, Wendy's like, well, when it comes to the basketball part of things, trying to take it back, because again, we're on First Take. This is not, I mean, with all due, it's not Fox News. This wasn't a news segment for Stephen A. or anything else, but that's what it's come to sound like. Now, he is not backing off, clearly, because he took the mayor's comment, you know, what the mayor said to him, and we can go back to the, I believe I've got it pulled up. You know, the mayor had put out a statement yesterday. For those that didn't see it, from the city of Memphis, Stephen called us a great sports town. Facts. Best fans in the game? True. People of Memphis? Unmatched. But what he is missing is that crime is down significantly in 2024-25. We're not just talking change. We're delivering it. Memphis is rising, and we've got the numbers and the heart to prove it. If Jimmy Butler, in this case, or anyone else is unsure, come see for yourself. And Stephen, we'll welcome you here anytime. Just don't bet against us. Memphis doesn't stay down. Big shout out to all the Memphians and Ja Morant for jumping into the mix today. Remember, this was released yesterday from the city. Ja repping his city like that shows exactly why he's one of us. His greatness is undeniable, but it's his heart that makes him Memphis. And so that's where you had Stephen A. responding to this morning on First Take and sounding almost like another mayoral candidate. In this case, I mean, clearly, Stephen A.'s got, you know, much higher aims and goals perhaps later on in life after he's done than being the mayor of Memphis. Frankly, we don't want him as the mayor of Memphis. He thinks we're still Elvis around here. My point, though, is, you know, he had a respect for Memphis that it didn't feel like. I'm going to say that he didn't change his stance on the crime, but he after seeing what it did in a city, the largest predominantly black city in town, I mean in town in the country, after seeing sort of the ripple effects in the city, how the mayor responded. You had the Memphis Chamber president responding yesterday. He did come back with a level of respect that I think was necessary. I mean, some of it, again, is he trying to run for president or not? He came back with a level of respect that I think was overdue, required if we're going to have these conversations. Because, again, here's the part of it that some people don't want to acknowledge. There is some truth to what he's saying. Well, before Stephen A.'s comments, B.C., you know, we'd looked at Memphis as this market and accepted it ourselves as this is a tough place to draw free agents. Right now, whether we are chalking that up to crime or it's just not a free agent destination because Miami and the big markets are better. You know, we all had our different reasons and we realize it's a layered conversation, but we were all there, right? We know that Memphis wasn't a free agent destination. Most small markets aren't. And we realized that crime was a part of that issue. Here's us. It's always been us. We can acknowledge our issues and talk about our issues, but we do have a tendency to get riled up. You know, hair sort of stands up on our arms when somebody else is talking about it. And especially if you're not doing it with the proper level of respect, like it felt Stephen A. wasn't yesterday. Felt like it was a pot shot. We talked about it. John said gratuitous. I thought, you know, again, the section of the show was about John Morant and whether or not the Memphis Grizzlies should move on from him. Now, that's not about free agents coming to Memphis. So he'd gotten off onto this tangent that, while it included some truth, seemed unnecessary, cheap. Comes back. We know why. It's ratings for ESPN when you're talking about John Morant. He saw all of the ripple effects in Memphis, how offended people in Memphis, this black town, he's black, how offended it was. He comes back with a different tone today. One I think was required, but listen, I wouldn't be surprised if John Morant decides to respond to Stephen A. today, if he does it again tomorrow. What I guess my bottom line, the way to bottom line this, if there is a bottom line, is that, you know, while we can be mad at Stephen A. for pointing this out, or in our case, I mean, my stance yesterday was more about the journalistic integrity of saying everybody in the league says this about Memphis when you're only using Jimmy Butler as the guy, right? But if, you know, whatever it is, let's acknowledge that we've got things to fix, right? That all of a sudden, the Memphis Grizzlies, if you get this thing pointed in the right direction, now that's someone else's job. That's Zach Kleiman. You get that thing winning again, you know what Stephen A. is going to be saying? He's going to be saying what they were 2-3 years ago. Great basketball town, one of the best atmospheres. You know, a lot of this, when you start, you know, and Jeff touched on this morning, he's so right. But a lot of this is when, you know, a team falls off, because we don't talk about the crime issues in towns where the city, I mean, or the team is performing well, where they're one of the storylines of the NBA. And frankly, you know, Stephen A. was sort of there in terms, especially in terms of Ja Morant, but so was ESPN just a few short years ago, right, when Memphis was winning. They weren't saying anything about our crime issues then, when crime was actually higher than it is right now. Stephen A. said it. The mayor pointed out to the stats and everything else. We weren't doing that. We get back to winning. Stephen A. is going to jump back on the bandwagon, and he's going to be saying good things again. And maybe this is some of me and how tense it got with John, just sort of wondering. But let's not allow him or others, and you know, to rile us up in a way where now we're tearing each other apart. Right? Let's acknowledge the truth in what he said. Let's understand why he's doing it and some of the reasons, perhaps. You know, he's got political aspirations. A lot of this feels like it's for ratings. John Morant's waiting. Mayor's. Of course, I'm going to come back and hit it. Let's all acknowledge that, but let's not let it tear us apart. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And when it comes to Stephen A., let's understand this is what he does. You know, I saw a lot of, man, this dude's a you-know-what. And while I disagreed vehemently with the way he laid it out there yesterday, I don't think this is some awful dude all of a sudden. You know, you see the stuff on social media, Brad, and it starts to get crazy. And that's not just with Stephen A. That's with everything we do. You know, we disagree, and all of a sudden, you're a bad person, right? You shouldn't even be doing this. You shouldn't even be here. So that's what I'm asking us to sort of maybe stay away from. Because look, we'll be right. If Stephen A. says something good about Memphis 2 weeks from now, we will hold it up. Don't lie. Don't lie about it. That's what we'll do. He's not going anywhere. So understand it's his shtick. That I think he got educated on it after, you know, really overdoing it yesterday with the take, not putting the proper respect on it, at least, if you're going to try to touch on this. You do have, I think, at least one player in Jimmy Butler who probably told him that. And so journalistically, I think he's okay there. And listen, man, we're all back watching it today. And not just here in Memphis. Everybody, they're watching it nationally. ESPN's not going to, you know, tell him to stop. So, oh, this is wrong. Stop letting it rile us up. Let's acknowledge the truth in it. Let's get the Grizzlies fixed so they're saying good things about us and not picking at the warts just because right now things look a little, you know, hey, what are they going to do, man? You know, they just traded Devin Bane. This ain't looking like it did 2 or 3 years ago. You know, maybe that's not squarely stated, but I think, guys, we got to start, you know, we certainly got to stop tearing each other apart. You know, letting commenters like Stephen A. Smith inject a little, I don't know what you would call that yesterday. What'd you think about the tone change?
I think it's a guy who heard it yesterday for sure. You know, when you have a city react like that, that's a major market. I mean, there's a lot of listeners and viewers of that program in this market. And the reaction was probably jarring for him, right? Because he's used to not hearing much from some of these markets. No disrespect to OKC or Indianapolis, but Indianapolis isn't reacting. You know, you could say whatever about Indy, and they're just whatever. Memphis has a chip on her shoulder, and Karen Perrin from The River said this to me. She heard it yesterday on our air, and she said, you know, we can sort of talk about our brothers and sisters here in town, but when somebody else does, yeah, it changes the mood, and I think that's what happened.
Yeah, there's not, I mean, I've, in my, you know, 40-something, 40-plus years in Memphis, that's something I've always picked up on about us. We can, and that's, you know, whether it's you and your boy at school, whatever else, you guys can talk about each other, but if somebody talks about y'all, no, it's fight then.
No.
You understand? And they can be saying the exact same thing that you'll say. That's the deal with our town. That's how we are.
Yes.
We want folks to say nice things about Memphis, and when you say unnice things, we get defensive. There's no question.
And I think your point is the number one point, which is it was gratuitous because it was so random. It was just like, okay, the other people on the show are talking about Game 6 of the NBA Finals, the big trade that just happened, Ja Morant, and then suddenly it's like an ambush.
Well, I mean, to his point, he had talked finals. What's interesting, and they had come around to a point now where should the Grizzlies move on from Ja Morant? It was another topic on the show. His point was, I've talked finals. Now, we could say, along with Ja, you should be talking more finals. Find a different way to talk about it rather than coming here. But, Brad, this is where I go back to. This is the formula. He can talk about Ja Morant. It's going to get ratings.
Yeah.
He's not going to go, what low-hanging fruit?
Yes.
You ever heard that in the radio business when it's right there to go get? Hey, man, go hit the A. And hitting Ja Morant is the A. And so,
that's fair.
You know, and again, he had talked finals are boring. Finals are down 20%. He's watching solitaire. It's just the truth.
It's a fact.
And we can be mad at, you know, the way he does it, the way he goes about it, but it's not stopping. The next time Stephen A. says something good about us, I'm sure we'll hold it up. Now, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll hold it against him forever and cross him off and say he should never come to me. But is that really the way to respond when we know there is some truth to what he's saying in terms of our crime issues? So, again, let's not let it get us so riled up that it gets us distracted from what our problems are and distracted from what Zach Kleiman needs to do in the front office to get this thing back to where it was 2 or 3 years ago when ESPN is saying this is the best franchise in terms of going forward next 5 years in the league, right? They love the way we were filling up FedEx Forum. They love the way Ja Morant made everybody better and the way the Grizzlies were getting the 2 seed every year. Let's get back to that. And then Stephen A. isn't doing this. You're not going to stop Stephen A. from being Stephen A. But what we can do is get him to keep it on basketball if we can get this mess cleaned up, okay? Stephen A., you know, we know what you're doing, bro. You look like you're trying to make a run for president later on down the line. You're trying to tell us you know about red and blue now. I do think he got an education, a little bit of a necessary education on him. And I appreciate the folks, you know, the started with Ja Morant standing up for the cities, but the Paul Youngs and everybody that schooled him on, hey, we know we got problems, but we're working on them. Because I think that tone was missing that first day, you know, from him. And so it is what it is. We'll get, you know, those are my thoughts, Brad's thoughts. I'm told now that John Martin, our star here of the show, is going to be able to make it in at some point. We've also got, obviously, Jeff Calkins lined up. He spent the morning talking about this and has a column about it over at the Daily Memphian. It is, man. You talk about Memphis, it gets tense. It gets tense. We got to fix our own issues, though, BC. We do. We have to look at ourselves in the mirror. And so we're going to do that. We'll talk to Jeff Calkins. We'll keep it real, talk about his column. We'll do all that on the other side. Hopefully I have John Martin back. You listen to Jason, John, 929 FM.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
ESPN. Jeff Calkins. It's my John Martin impression. Columnist over at the Daily Memphian. Columnist OG, really. The one we've looked up to and looked to for years. Me looking up, you guys looking too. He joins us now on a different day than he usually does. We appreciate your flexibility, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, thanks.
Appreciate you doing it. It was John that asked you, and then you get me, right? And John's not here.
This is my lucky day. I don't have to deal with John and his impertinence. He had a mishap on the highway. Ran over something, and I just texted him. He said he was in the back of an Uber.
Yep. So better be able to make it second segment. Hopefully, you'll get to hear from him. He'll have questions for you. We may just be asking him questions about what the heck he ran over.
What the hell he ran over.
Before we do that, though, I want to get to some very important business with you. I listened to your whole show this morning, as I usually do, and I want you to tell me what you think about this. ESPN and Stephen A. Smith today are probably just up there, boy, rubbing their bellies, right? Because I'm looking at this as yesterday. On a first take show that, yeah, could be talking about game five of the finals or whatever, you know, OKC having control, whatever else. Maybe the ratings haven't been so good, or maybe, you know, and what could have been a throwaway segment, right, which was entitled Should Grizzlies Move On From Ja Morant, boy, Stephen A. goes off script, right, about free agency and what the Grizzlies can do and this new stuff with Bane. And look what it turns into. It turns into a segment that has the mayor of Memphis responding and gives them enough juice that they can come back and hit it today in one of their first blocks. And so it's just, it poof out of nothing. And so if anything, you know, it just feels like, and I read your column, I thought it was great. You know, on a day that we're, you know, probably still mad at Stephen A., we got to know that Stephen A. and them, they're loving the way we responded yesterday, because, again, this is a guy that can take a throwaway segment and turn it into something that you care about. And he did that yesterday.
Yeah, to me, there's no question. If the goal of someone like Stephen A. is simply to generate viewers,
all he cares about,
as opposed to generate insight or, you know, whatever. Like, if the goal is to generate viewers, if you are a circus act rather than a journalist, he is magnificent at it, right? Like, there's no question. You're exactly right. As you point out, I was listening to the earlier segment, you know, during the game itself, he was playing solitaire. So he's not interested in the games. And so he's interested in creating content, and it doesn't really matter if the content, you know, is if he's responsible or whatever. One of the things that really struck me about Stephen A. today, and I just didn't mention this on my show, the tweet that he had about Ja last, in response to Ja last night, where he said, and I don't have it in front of me, I'm driving, you probably do, but where he said, is this what we're going to do? I got more I could tell you if you want to. Like,
different tone, wasn't it?
But what kind of, that is not, it is so wildly unprofessional.
Yes.
Can you imagine if Sam Hardiman, like, here's the truth. If something as a journalist needs to be told and should be told, you tell it. If it doesn't need to be told and shouldn't be told, isn't important, then you don't tell it, right? You don't condition what you're going to tell in some act of vindication. I have real things I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you unless you back down. Like, that's a weird-ass way. You were at the newspaper forever.
Yep.
You know, Otis Sanford never said to a politician, I got more. I could tell you the real story if you don't. Like, that is not a – that tweet reveals himself to be what exactly we know he is, which is a carnival barker. He is not a journalist.
Well,
right? It's just not – that is not something that as a journalist you would do.
100%.
Wildly irresponsible. So it just – to me, the sad part is, of course – is, and I really think it has an impact on our society beyond sports, is that the goal of journalistic enterprises, and honestly, I still think this is true at the Daily Memphian, I think it's actually true at the CA to a large extent, whatever, the goal should be to tell stories that are true and important, not to tell stories that generate the most traffic. That just shouldn't, you know what I mean? That was, yes, of course you want people to read and whatever else, and so... So it is all part of that. Now, beyond that, as you like, there are things that he said that are 100% true and are important to the future of the Grizzlies and the future of the city. It was a totally out of context circumstance in which he brought them up. He is unprofessional in the way that he does it, but it doesn't mean that there isn't a kernel of truth in what he's saying, and not only just a kernel, some really important things in what he's saying. It's just the way he does it is so remarkably irresponsible that it's hard to get beyond that.
So they are not a journalistic enterprise. I'm throwing a statement at you, it's true or false. They're not a journalistic enterprise, but he will use his journalistic background and my journalistic integrity, right? I talk to players. Jimmy Butler was one of them, to try to pass it off as that.
He knows things. You know, I mean, there's no question he knows things.
He can pass it off as that, as a journalistic enterprise, using that part of him, but we're beyond that. He's now, you know, what do you call, you know.
The fact that he goes out of his way. The truth matters. It's funny. Like, I'm literally... So my son Peter is works for something and he works for a legal outfit, and he does a lot of studying of social media and whatever. And what works in social media more than anything else is conflict. If you want to grow the number of followers you have, or you want something to go viral or whatever else, the best, surest way to do it is conflict. You know, pick on someone bigger than you, whatever, get them to engage you, right? All of a sudden, like, it is literally the best way to grow your following is conflict. And so what Stephen A. does is, sure, he throws this thing out there, the controversy of that, but then it's so much sweeter when LeBron James comes at him, right? Or when Ja comes at him, because then he has conflict. He's won. He can get another day out of it. You know, it is literally, it's what he lives for is conflict. And so it really doesn't. The truth of the matter is, it would have been better for everyone in Memphis to have simply ignored what he said yesterday. And then it wouldn't have been brought up today. You know, like, it's just, it would have been better to simply ignore it. But he does it in a contentious way, and it's awfully hard to ignore it. And there is something at some point, and I think you're right, like, it was probably good that Ted Townsend from the chamber and that Paul Young, the mayor, decided to actually, you know, once this was already become a big thing, that they had decided to weigh in, both with invitations for Stephen A. to come to Memphis and stories about how Memphis, like, in the other words, you do want to try to correct the misperceptions to the extent there are some, or the exaggerations, but it is the conflict that he lives for and the conflict that he generated and that he got from Ja, of all people. So, you know, and it's very hard for Memphis. Like, that tweet had something like 5 million impressions, right? Like, wow. So it's very hard. It does nothing for the image of Memphis when something like that is getting, you know, 5 million impressions. That's not a good day for the city of Memphis.
Now, if Stephen A. had directed his ire to Memphis on the condition of the roads,
I would have been with him.
I would have been with him. The reason why I'm late today, and I'm okay, is that I was on, I take, 385 to get here every day. And there was some foreign object in the right lane that I didn't want to go. I thought I could clear it. I didn't want to veer over it, because then I'd get, I'm going 65, 75 miles an hour, and I thought I could clear it. I could not clear it. There was a big commotion under my car, the umbrage of my vehicle. Next thing I know, I got this guy honking at me, telling me something's going on. I don't know what it is. I pull over, and I'm bleeding gas. I'm bleeding fuel.
Oh, no.
So
what did you hit?
I have no idea. It was like it looked like a metal steel triangle. I don't know what that would be.
Okay, so not it wasn't a pothole.
No, it was not a pothole. It was like an item.
Shrapnel on the road.
So yeah, some item that I.
Someone to your left or to your. Could you have gone around it? Did you just miss?
No, I don't. No, I couldn't have. I could not have. I mean, I guess I could have veered to the right into the little median there, but I in the end it was just too quick. It was a rapid thing.
What did you leave your car by the side of the road?
Yeah, I got it. I did end up getting. I was like, what do I do here? I pulled over. Can I make it? I ended up driving to the Audi dealership and dropping it off. I made it, but it was a very stressful.
You didn't make it. I see.
It was a stressful,
Got that thing to the dealership. That was convenient.
Yeah. So now it's just a matter of, I got to get that thing on the insurance. And but if Stephen A. had focused, it on that, I would have been like,
potholes, the condition.
Hallelujah! You are this. this is correct. But the stuff today feels ghoulish. It feels ghoulish. It feels wildly inappropriate that it is still being discussed. And almost like...
I don't know what they've said today. But as I said earlier, the notion that
he's literally... I'll tell you what he said. He is breaking down crime statistics on Memphis. He's talking about homicides. He's talking about rapes. He's talking about poverty. He's talking about all of these things. And he's like, he's clearly got a script somebody has sent him, the mayor, and then, which is good, education is good. But it's like, this is absurd. This is ESPN, man. Like, this is this.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, bro. ESPN loves this. He took a throwaway segment, and look at us. He's got a whole city going nuts and talking about it tuned in to what he's saying.
Yes.
We were all tuned in again today to see if he was going to hit it. And I guarantee you those ratings out of Memphis ESPN, the president's like, yes, yes, go, Steven.
They're going to get what they want out of this in terms of engagement.
It's ratings-driven at this point. That's what I was talking about with Jeff before you got in here.
But to sacrifice a city the way they're doing and to throw them into the fire like this is the part of it that feels absolutely outrageous. Like, they've never done this before. I don't think they've ever had a segment certainly a two-day segment like this where we're still focusing on things that don't have anything to do with the finals or the – our free agency or the NBA draft or, I just find it. And I know Stephen A. Smith's untouchable. And like Jason said, they probably do enjoy this. But I don't know. I find it ghoulish. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. I
don't know how much you've said about it. I'm coming in. So.
I mean, I think it's wildly inappropriate. Like, it's I mean, I don't know. Like, I've never believed that the fact that other people have crime issues is an excuse to not have real urgency about Memphis's crime issues, right? That's not, look at so-and-so. That's not an answer. But it is literally true. He could go on and he could do the crime statistics for New Orleans or the crime statistics for St. Louis or the crime statistics for Baltimore or the crime statistics for the Bronx, I suspect, or the crime statistics like where he's from or the crime statistics from Detroit. And it would sound grim because it is grim, right? And then so it is literally he is doing it as a personal vendetta. And all you had to know was when Stephen A. tweeted last night, you want me to tell the real story? Like, as I said earlier, real journalists tell the stories that need to be told and don't tell the stories that don't need to be told based on their news judgment, not based on the fact that someone tweeted at them. right? Like it's it is a weird, wildly unprofessional way to go about your business. Now the problem is that if this is just true, is that it is not crazy to think that Jimmy Butler or other players have mentioned, I don't want to play in Memphis because of crime. Now, they would have found another reason once upon a time.
Right.
Like those players were never coming to Memphis. The best players in the world have never signed on to play in Memphis unless they were drafted by Memphis or traded to Memphis. Like that they've never. But it is, and it's also true that he's touching on a real issue, that St. Jude has a hard time, I suspect, recruiting here. It's an obstacle. FedEx has a hard time recruiting here. It's an obstacle. And in fact, the Grizzlies, as they determine whether they're going to remain in Memphis, they're looking at the crime stuff too. They're looking at the area around their arena too. Like it is a real issue. And what is happening now with Stephen A. doing what he's doing is putting fuel on that fire. It was already an issue. Memphis works every single day to try to correct the reality and therefore correct the perception. And now you have a guy who's literally going on national TV, you know, reading off crime stats because someone dared to tweet back at him something that wasn't fully, you know, sucking up to Stephen A. It does a hell of a lot of damage to a place that already has a damaged reputation. That's the realest thing here, the damage that Stephen A. is doing.
For the first time, I finally understand them. I finally understand the stick to sports crowd. Stick to sports, ESPN.
Yeah. So
I get it.
Tragic.
I get it. So,
what? Ed Scott, I thought, said something perhaps pretty important, and maybe some would have thought it was just throwaway, but I thought you touched on it too. Yesterday, he was asked about Pete Thamel's, you know, report, or at least the commotion it had created on X about the Tigers possibly putting football, in the Pac-12 and putting basketball and the rest of its Olympic sports in the Big East. And the quote, you touched on it. I can tell you this, you can read everything you want on social media, but if you don't hear it from my mouth, then it's not true yet. Thought that yet part was pretty important. What say you?
I circled the yet metaphorically. I underlined the yet.
Yep.
Yeah, it's what you can say, hey, it's not true and whatever else. But he literally said yet. And so
big difference.
It very clearly, I don't know how you can't look at that yet and say, oh, this is something that they are considering.
Absolutely.
And would be exploring and might someday come to pass. The yet tells it all. It may someday be true. He didn't say what a nonsense, you know, what a silly theory, where he said it's not true yet. And so I thought that was telling. Now he's going
I would like to follow it up on what's not true yet. That's what I would like. What do you mean?
We didn't hear the question that preceded it, right?
Right.
So the question that preceded it, I can imagine, was about conference realignment.
That's why I've stated it the way I did. It looks like it was about, and again, I'm just going off of looks here, but it was about the speculation on X about leaving the AAC, because he stuck to social media, right, as opposed to reports in terms of what he was
talking
to.
Yeah, from the context, I clearly got the sense it was about Pete Thamel's report.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so that's what's not true yet. Now, Ed Scott has a media thing Friday where they're going to be at the Liberty Bowl, and they're going to be talking about whatever the future of the Liberty Bowl and whatnot. And so, and at that one, he didn't take questions from the media last night. He talked to the fans. I gather it was a nice event. So we may get some more perspective on that. It is interesting. When Ed talks, and you've heard it because you've had him on your show, when he talks, he's really quite revealing. Like, he isn't trying to hide the ball.
Very transparent.
And so, from that perspective, I kind of believe what he says. You know, like, this isn't true yet, but that doesn't mean that it's not something we would consider or something we would talk about, a path we would consider going down in the future.
Yeah, I don't want to devote any more energy to it than I already have. I hope it happens. I need it to happen, but
you're going to devote a lot more energy to it, because if it happens, it's not happening for years. And so I can guarantee you that the topic of Memphis
to the PAC or Memphis to the Big East is something that we will be discussing.
When there's news, when there's, you know, something that,
right,
but short of that, I'm not going to be like,
you're not willing to base a whole segment around it yet.
No, I'm not. And I'm not, like, what I mean really is, like, I'm not going to be like frantically searching on Twitter, Memphis, Big East, Memphis, Big, you know, I've just, the football has been taken out of the, away so many times that, why would this time be any different? So,
And let me ask you this. Is it how much of a football is it? In other words, it's clearly better than what they have, and I think would be a fun solution. It also is very clearly not the final prize that they ever wanted. We're a full-fledged member of
I don't even know that football would be better in the Pac-12. I'm not even convinced that is true, because Tulane, Navy, Memphis, South Florida, is that really worse than Boise State, Washington State, Oregon State? Is that Utah State? Is it really worse? UNLV, I guess. I don't know if UNLV's going.
I think, honestly, we'll think about it in terms of fans, right? Would more people come see Boise than Tulane?
Is it one half or the other?
I think it. Maybe some of it would be novelty that more people would come for Boise, but I actually think it's a bigger brand. I think it has marginally bigger brands coming into the Liberty Bowl. So I think from that perspective, it would probably be better.
And I just think, like, honestly,
better for basketball. Right?
I know that football drives these discussions, right? But I think the program that would benefit
the most is basketball.
I don't even know that football would benefit. I'll put it that way. I don't even know that they would. Like, because travel costs and everything baked in. I'm not even sure that they would benefit from a different conference because I hate to say it.
It would be harder to win. It would also be harder to win.
It would. It would. But basketball would be transformative,
I agree.
And that's the clumsiness of it all. But it at least seems like they do want to still make the move, Maybe it's because they have to, save basketball.
It would be a huge difference for basketball. Can you imagine having a basketball season where all the interesting games don't happen before Christmas, where you actually can look forward to a conference season that's got compelling games and compelling home games? And it would be fabulous for basketball. Exactly the sort of injection of interest and enthusiasm that program needs.
Can you imagine a Grizzlies practice facility with a window? Can we do it?
It's exhausting.
I don't care. I'm not going to defend Memphis from the window, from the no window.
I mean, we kind of knew it didn't. We've been in it. We knew it didn't have a window, but what you compare it to Orlando.
Never really cared much about whether the damn basketball facility has.
So you could look outside,
The gym doesn't have a window?
The press facility has no windows?
Nobody was talking about the weight room.
No, he's talking about the press facility.
They didn't want windows because,
they called the dungeon.
Stealing their secrets.
The players have called the dungeon.
Their
That's
secrets.
Right. They're stealing secrets. And they've pushed us out of there, more and more.
I'm not going to. No,
I'm just throwing it. It was just a little softy softball I threw at you there.
It's unrelenting.
Yeah, it is.
It's unrelenting to live in a place I love. This is true. One of the things that's been really nice is that Claire has two sons who moved here really from Nashville. One of them went to high school in Clarksville and one went to high school in Ellsworth, and they moved here.
The facility has windows. The basketball court got windows.
John's just interrupting me. Am I not talking?
There are windows.
This facility is different. The one in Memphis didn't have windows.
Like
I'm just reading Bane's
John
quote.
Is, this is why
Bane lying. Bane out there lying.
I think they block him out.
Literally driving over my segment. Forget that. Go ahead. Drive over something else.
I'm literally looking at windows. I'm literally looking at windows.
I embarked on a different story.
I'm looking at windows.
What the hell? I came in an off day.
They block him out.
You know what? Just for this, I'm not going to show up for work tomorrow.
They cover them.
I'm not going to show up for work tomorrow. I'm taking them off for Juneteenth.
That's crazy.
It's ripping us apart the last couple of days.
Now
Jeff's not coming to work.
I want to hear about the boys.
No, I'm not going to tell
you. You set it up
and
we didn't even get the payoff, for God's sakes. One went to Ellsworth.
I have a show from 9 to 11, and you can hear my story about people who like Memphis.
Well, I want to hear the story about the boys.
I did, Jeff. I did too.
I got to walk into a meeting at the Daily Memphis.
We get it.
See y'all. Bye.
Thank you, Jeff. appreciate your flexibility coming in here on a Wednesday.
Now he's running over a gas can himself. Did you hear it?
No, that wasn't a gas can. I don't know what the hell it was. I was looking at windows. I don't know what they do with the windows.
They block them off, I think.
But, like, they're there.
Man, let's get Desmond Bane on the hook, John, and let's fry him. Because he says the facility is different.
No, I know what he said.
The one in Memphis didn't have one window. We called it the dungeon. So, yes, they must have dropped them down.
Yeah, I guess they don't want the glare, but I
mean, or anybody looking in or whatever, peeking in. Can you? I mean, are they just the one sided windows where you can't like look in if you're in the outside?
Well, you have that glass that's up there. Well,
maybe they didn't want folks trying to look in.
The GMs are up there looking. You know, the bosses look over.
And then they have four windows that I'm looking at on the other side. So is it possible they drop a curtain? I don't know, but clearly. The NBA players want windows in their practice facility, and if they don't have windows, then you're going to get ripped. If you don't lift the curtain up, you're going to get ripped into the media. So let that be a lesson. But there are windows in this practice facility. I will go to my grave on that.
Just you all are referencing Bane being enamored and just going online with these clips that Orlando's pushing out. I mean, there are a little.
No,
hard
I'm
to
just
take.
I'm just. It's exhausting everywhere you turn. Like somebody just crapping on Memphis, right? Right, wrong. This man is talking about windows, dog, and it's just like enough, dude. When there are windows, I mean, what? Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Anyway, what a morning already. Indeed. We have a window here. We're going to take a break. Come back. Jason and John, how are you trying to film?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.